You're listening to a Cancer-Free Frontier podcast.
To create and provide better treatments today.
We can bring these discoveries and the science-based medicine to people in need around the state, the region, and the world.
I feel like the future is very bright, and I can't even imagine what cancer care is going to look like over the next 50 years.
To continue that journey to eradicate cancer from the face of the earth.
Hello, and welcome to a Cancer-Free Frontier podcast, where we ask the question, can we create a cancer-free frontier? I'm your host, Heather Simonson. I'm so glad you're all here with us today. We're talking about the long road to treatment. A cancer diagnosis can turn your life upside down, and then having to uproot and travel long distances for surgery and treatment, I can't imagine, but it can make it even tougher. And our first guest knows that struggle all too well. I'd like to introduce PJ DiPentino and his wife, Lexi, who are joining us from Livingston, Montana. Hello and welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
We're so glad that you're with us today. We just love our patients, and I understand you have a really special story. But I first want to start with, tell us a little bit about Livingston. It sounds like just a beautiful place.
It is. You know, it's a hub on the northern entrance to the Yellowstone Park, and located along the Yellowstone River. And it's a nice little touristy type community that we have in Livingston. And we're very fortunate that my wife and I own my wife owns a store located in Livingston where we cater to Montana residents and artists.
Wow, that sounds so charming. And I understand you're a father and a grandfather.
Yes, yes, the two best jobs in the world. And it's the only job I have that I gladly get up and do every day. And, you know, my children were there for this whole thing. And, you know, people don't realize when you're sick and you have cancer, it affects everybody. It doesn't just affect you as a person or your spouse, like, of course, but, you know, the difficult conversation telling my children I was sick and them, you know, worrying for me and me worrying about them worrying for me. And it's just a never ending process that affects everybody. So anything that yeah. helps to make that easier on the situation is what you're looking mm-hmm. for. And that's exactly what we got through Huntsman.
I'm so glad to hear that. And let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, life was good. You're doing well there in Livingston. And then what happened? When did you realize, hey, something's not right?
Well, in about Christmas time, I just wasn't feeling well. I was tired and had chronic headaches, and I just something wasn't right, and I couldn't change anything by diet or vitamins. And I went and saw the doctor, and, you know, he just says, it could be, you know, it was my situation was prostate and bladder related. I had a tumor in my bladder. And when things started to go bad was about February, when I started to notice things that made me believe I had a serious problem. And we went to the emergency room. And were notified at the emergency room after some testing that I had cancer, didn't have cancer, but I was showing a tumor in my bladder that was causing the issue. So that was probably the most heart-wrenching conversation when the physician in the emergency room said, hey, you need to go to a urologist. And I remember when he walked out the door, I looked at my wife and I was in disbelief. I said, did he just say I had cancer? And we were just staring at each other. And there's so many things and emotions that come to you when you hear that diagnosis. You're just like, what is going on? You know, what? And it took a while before we realized it, but then we went to the urologist and onto the oncologist and onto the journey to Huntsman.
I mean, that moment had to be so tough. Yeah. I mean, we've all been there where you're waiting. What is going on? What's wrong? You're waiting for a diagnosis, but you're thinking, oh, it's, you know, it's probably nothing. And then to hear, like you said, to hear that word, it has to kind of stop time in that moment and really change your life.
It was the change. It was the change of our life. Went from normal to something that we really never prepared for. We never thought that I'd be sitting here, you know, talking about this, or I'd be going through it. And I think that was the change in our life, you know. And it's crazy. When you are facing mortality, you start thinking about everything you did in your past and everything that you want to do in your future. And you, and this being sick is like a hurdle that's stuck right in between that. And it's, how do I get over this to get to the other side? And that's the mindset. It was like, you know, we got to do whatever it takes to get me healthy so I can maintain what I've built and where I'm at in my life. So that was our goal. It was just we got to beat this thing one way or another. It doesn't matter what it is, but, you know, the other option is not a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you traveled to Huntsman Cancer Institute for your surgery. Yeah. Now, what is that, about a 7-hour drive?
We actually took a plane. We actually took a plane because part of my cancer was a, you know, you just had to be close to the bathrooms, and it was one of those things where we decided to do. You know, my wife handled most of that stuff because I was too ill, and I'll let her attest to what we went through to get there.
Part of choosing to go on the plane was not only because he had frequency of urination, but on the trip home, his doctor didn't want us to be out in the middle of nowhere after surgery and not be close to, you know, something happened and not be close to a hospital. So traveling by plane was the most effective and logical way to go.
That makes so much sense. But what was the biggest challenge? I mean, you're far away from your kids, your friends. I mean, that had to be really tough. And here you're having major surgery.
Yeah, it was 4th of July weekend too, which didn't help after the surgery. But I went in and I knew we would be in Utah for 2 weeks minimal. And one of the first week was in Huntsman after the surgery. And then after that, we found a facility that was able to house us, the Hope Lodge, located in Salt Lake. And the Hope Lodge was for people who are going through cancer, and they're fighting that battle. The American Cancer Society sponsored it. And we were given a room at the Hope Lodge with a little living room area and a bedroom area with two beds. And then there was a communal kitchen area on the main level where all the residents had their own little kitchen locations. And, you know, I got to heal with other people who were fighting the same battle. And that was just an incredible thing for me, was to be able to be around other people who were in similar situation, but have the dignity and decency to have our own space.
And that was very huge for us. We were there before and after his surgery, and I did not know about that facility until I was connected with folks at the Huntsman Center. So we're very grateful for that.
Yeah,
it's wonderful to hear.
But that's part of the challenge. You know, the challenge is not the 600 miles to get here, but how do you recuperate? How do you heal? And all that while being without my children, without my support, without my family, just my poor wife who was, you know, through thick and thin. One of my sons did fly to Utah for our last couple of days to help me get ready to come home. And he was the first child I had seen in going on 3 weeks. So that was really tough. You know, you're kind of out by yourself, but we surrounded ourselves with positive people and positive situations. And part of that was with the help that Amelia brought to us while we were going through that process.
Yes, let's talk about, you mentioned Amelia, your patient navigator. The healthcare system, let's face it, it is not easy. I mean, it is a tough process. How did Amelia help you?
I can't, you know, it's hard to put into words when you're struggling, you're in an area where you don't know anybody, and it's just everything is tough. And Amelia was amazing. When we checked in, we saw her right away. You know, you get there on a Friday and you're having surgery on Monday. So there's a lot of stress and worrying. And she was so kind. I mean, she showed up with tickets to the art festival that was going on downtown. And what a blessing that was as we walked through town, you know, together and just enjoyed everything about, you know, Utah and the people. And it was really, really nice.
And she helped us even before we stepped into Salt Lake. You know, she was my contact there from the very beginning. Life is very hard as a caretaker. I'm, you know, running our store. I have a full-time job also on top of that. And then trying to pick up everything that my husband did at the house. There were a lot of roles that I was playing. And so I wasn't always on the ball with everything. And Amelia even reached back out to me like, hey, how are you doing? Just to check in on me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I still have to, you know, book a hotel or I have to do this or whatever. And it was really nice. From the very beginning, she was there to help figure out, you know, what type of travel we needed, how there are different flight opportunities and stuff. And so she just gave me everything that I needed or opportunities I could potentially use to travel, and then allowed me to kind of figure out how it worked best for us. And always there. Oh my gosh. I can't even explain how amazing she was through the whole process.
We actually have Amelia in the studio today. And we're going to be talking to her in a minute, but I'm just so touched hearing you explain how much she helped you. And I can tell you, she is touched. It's not very often that you hear how your job really impacts someone's life in such a powerful way.
I'm crying right now just thinking about all the help she gave us. Like, she's just such a blessing. We could not have done it without her.
Yeah, it was really comforting. You know, when, like I said, you have so much to worry and you're thinking about and you're stressing out. And then the fear of the surgery. You know, we're both scared to death. We're wandering around a town where we don't know anybody. We're not even sure what's ahead of us. Our children aren't here. Our people to lean on. And she stepped right into that role for us. I mean, she really was able to be there for us. And to me, the epiphany of the word support is that, you know, she was support. She was support from so many different ways, so many different things that made it a worthwhile decision. I mean, we could have went to Denver. We could have stayed in Montana. We chose Huntsman because of the facilities, the type of cancer I had, and the treatment that I thought I could get made taking this big risk of going all the way across country to get this done worth it. And I sit here today attesting that I'm not cancer-free, but I am better off than I've ever been in a long time. And that experience is what brought me here.
It's almost like a substitute family member. A stand-in, yep, if you will. Is that how you describe
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would explain it that way. Mm-hmm. Somebody who just steps in, is right there by you whenever you need. We decided at the last minute when our son was coming that we wanted to rent a car so we could drive around, because we didn't know, you know, what it was going to be like until we got there. And so I reached out to Amelia, and she right away was able to get us gas cards, which was just amazing, you know. So we were able to go and drive around with our son a little and do some sightseeing when he was with us before PJ's last doctor's appointment and before we left. And it was just very nice.
You know, one of the things too is by my son being able to come in the end, my wife was worn out. At that point, we'd been 3 weeks into this. She was tired, worn out, had been just beat up. And just the fact that my son was there and was able to take mom and the two of them got lost for about 6 hours in Salt Lake with each other was so much therapy for her and for me. So, I mean, those small little things that help us to be able to do that was what created the positive experience. I couldn't imagine. I told my wife at one point, I couldn't imagine going through this battle by yourself without your family, without the support. I never, as a single man, would have figured out Amelia even existed. I wouldn't have known, you know, what was available. I would have just toughed it through, and who knows if I even would have made it. And that just, you know, that positive experience, having that local contact, having somebody that was, you know, came to check on me after the surgery. I mean, that was really cool. My wife said, I didn't remember it, but she said, Amelia came by and wanted just to see how you were doing. So, I mean, that's the personal touch that made a world of difference, because that's what you would do. You would check on a family member. You checked on a loved one to make sure they're okay.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, PJ and Lexi. It's so good to talk to you today. What can you tell us about your condition now? How are you?
I had my bladder removed and my prostate removed. And after my surgery, they found cancer cells inside a few lymph nodes, but they were just the cells, nothing that metastasized. So I'm currently under immunotherapy to battle that situation. However, there was some getting used to being on a urostomy bag and, you know, having to live my life differently. But, you know, I'm feeling great. I'm back to work. I got back on the river and fished and rafted and spent times. I got back on the golf course, you know, and I think I'm 3 months post-surgery right now. And couldn't be feeling better. You know, I'm scared. You always think, oh, it's too good to be true that where I'm at right now. So I'm really concerned about the cancer cells that are inside of me, but feel that my team, my surgeon, the people involved at Huntsman and my support staff back here in Bozeman at the Cancer Center, we've got a good plan of attack to make sure that I'm, you know, staying as healthy as and can be here as long as possible.
It's so good to hear.
You know, he has his surgeon, Dr. Schmidt from the Huntsman Center, and then his oncologist here in Bozeman, Dr. Hancock. And Dr. Schmidt, I can reach out to her anytime if I have any questions. And I've had some specific questions. She gave me her email address, and it was just so like, she gets back to me right away because, you know, she never sleeps. I'm pretty sure she never sleeps. And she's just so caring. And the fact that she's, you know, helping beyond when we still have our oncologist here. And I can just bounce questions off of her and get an answer. And it's just that extra is very special.
If I could add to Dr. Schmidt, you know, it's a story in itself is that we live in Montana where we have our flight scheduled for Friday. Yeah. We are got the hotel set up. We're all set up to get there for my surgery on Monday. And on Thursday, I get a call from Huntsman. PJ, we're going to have to reschedule. And I went silent. And I goes, what do you mean? Well, your surgeon has been in a bicycle accident and broke his collarbone. And he won't be able to perform the surgery. And then I explained to the person on the phone, listen, we're flying there. We have hotel accommodations. We have rent a car stuff. You know, we can't just change it. And she was so calm. She said, hold on. I'm going to call you back. She called me back about 30 minutes later. And she says, we have another surgeon, Dr. Schmidt. She's doing a surgery in the morning, but has agreed to do you and keep everything to the schedule. And everything is on. PJ, just get here and we're going to take care of you. Now, I had never even met my surgeon. until an hour before my surgery when Dr. Schmidt came in and introduced herself. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I Googled her and I checked up on her and found out she was an amazing woman who had a great reputation at Huntsman. And I do believe I lucked out with getting them, no offense to the other doctor. But she was wonderful in the way she prepped us for the surgery, showed up with her team, checked on me, took care of me. And I truly believe I was blessed. You know, my medical staff, everybody that took care of me from the very beginning to the end was a woman. I had a woman. The only doctor male I did was Dr. Hancock, who was my urologist. But every single person that I went through, my nurses, the staff, Carly, anybody that we interacted with, right down to my surgeon, were females. And that couldn't have been any better for me to be blessed with so many caring ladies that took care of me. So at one point, I even realized that I told my wife, everyone who's taken care of me has been female. Every single person. So what a test to that as well is that, you know, the medical industry isn't male driven. It's driven by women who care and take care of people.
PJ, Lexi, before we let you go, I'd like to just ask you a question we ask all our guests. When you envision a cancer-free frontier, which is the vision of Huntsman Cancer Institute, what does that look like to you? What does it mean to you when I say we deliver a cancer-free frontier?
It's a second chance. It's a second chance at life. You know, I thank the Lord every day that I wake up and see my children and my wife and my grandson. And I worry that I won't be here for long, so I'm not going to take advantage of the time that I am here. But Huntsman gave me that second chance, that there was times I thought, I'm not going to get through this. I'm not going to make it. It's just every single thing that we got for news was bad. It never was good. I was like, man, I can't believe I can't catch a break. Well, all that time I didn't know I'd already caught that break, and that was going to Huntsman to get my work. And you know, that's for me, that's what it was. It gave me a second chance and the ability to change the way I live. And that impact will go on, you know, for the rest of my life, as long as they let me hang out.
PJ, Lexi, thank you both so much for joining us. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you for having us. We are so blessed and so grateful for being introduced to Amelia. I just cannot at all explain to you how she changed our life.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you both. Well, now we will welcome you properly, Amelia Tilline, our rural patient navigator who helped PJ through his cancer. Amelia is part of the Frontier and Rural Navigation Program at Huntsman Cancer Institute, which serves people in Montana, Wyoming, and rural Utah, helping them navigate the healthcare system from diagnosis to survivorship. Amelia, we're so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So what does a patient navigator do?
So, I mean, you kind of nailed it right off the bat when you said that we help navigate the healthcare system. So, you know, it can be really complicated as we talked to PJ and Lexi and heard, especially for those who are having to travel for that care, to be far away from family and friends and support and, you know, all the things that are familiar to them. And just being able to have somebody to kind of connect them with whatever resources they need to be able to get that care. So navigating the healthcare system, navigating even just the hospital, you know, and on all of the things that come with that.
And how did you become interested in this work?
That's a really good question. So my background is, I'm not a healthcare professional. My background is actually in public education. And when I went back to school and got a degree in health education and public health, I wanted to work in a field that would bring meaning to my life. When I left education, I felt like, you know, the only way that I could leave the education system, which meant so much to me, is to work in a place and do a job that would have as great an impact on the people that I serve, that I work with, and personal gratification, you know, having that feeling of meaning in the job that I do.
Well, it sounds like you achieved that. I saw you tearing up as PJ was describing the way that you helped him. That had to be emotional.
Yeah, that was so touching. They are just the most delightful couple, and I was so pleased to be able to work with them. They were referred to me by their social worker in Bozeman. But when I connected with Lexi first, was who I spoke to, there was a really, just a really strong connection there. She was so grateful to have somebody local that she could reach out to, and it felt really good to be that person and to be there for them.
And let's talk about some of those challenges. Patients who live far away from a National Cancer Institute designated comprehensive cancer center, like Huntsman Cancer Institute, what are some of those common challenges you see?
So right off the bat, the first thing is just the distance. You know, when people are traveling, there's the transportation to get here. There's the finding the lodging, you know, and things like that that the DiPentinos mentioned. With that travel and that leaving home, there's extra expense, you know, with the cost of being able to travel and stay, and even the cost to sometimes their livelihood, because they're, you know, when you're local and you have to go to the hospital or to the doctor's office, you're there for a couple of hours and then you go home. But these patients that have to travel from Wyoming and Montana and, you know, southern Utah and other places, they have to take sometimes an entire day to get here and then an entire day to get back, not to mention, you know, the time that they stay here for their care. So that's a lot of time off work if they're working. It's a lot of time away from their support network, their support system. And then with having rural patients, we're looking at issues with technology and connectivity and the digital connection.
There's so many hurdles and extra challenges that they face. And another one I would imagine, too, going from small town life to a big metropolitan area, a large cancer center, I would imagine that could cause some anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that is really common in the patients that I speak to. That travel between, you know, if you live on a dirt road and you're driving down the road and you see one truck go by, is a big difference from coming to Salt Lake, where, as one patient put it, it's rush hour all the time.
It sure
in
is.
In comparison, mm-hmm. You know, so just the driving down here and stuff, that is really anxiety inducing. And coming from a small rural hospital or clinic where they know every single person that works there, they know their way around. You know, sometimes their entire cancer center is a few rooms in the hospital, you know, to come to the University of Utah and the Huntsman Cancer Institute and have this enormous campus, you know, multiple floors, so many different providers and different people to talk to and to remember and to have phone numbers for, and all of that is a lot. It's a lot for our patients.
Well, and PJ and Lexi said you felt like family to them, which I think is such a high compliment to you.
Absolutely.
And how important is that trust that you build with your patients?
Yeah, it is really important. One thing that's a little bit tricky, as Lexi mentioned, the first contact we made was on the phone. And so it's a little bit tough sometimes to build that rapport over the phone, more so than, you know, a patient that is here in the hospital every day, you know, or frequently. So yeah, having that connection and having somebody who is there with, you know, kind of the boots on the ground, who you can connect with, who when you get there is a familiar voice or familiar name. You've had a conversation, if not a familiar face yet, you know, just somebody that you feel comfortable with, seems to make a world of difference.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it can be measured, but feeling that peace and that calm and that connection has to make such a difference.
Yeah, I had one patient the other day who was, it was the caregiver, the wife of a patient. And when I was speaking to her over the phone, the first phone call that we had, she was feeling very, very anxious about, you know, the treatment and coming to the hospital and, you know, all the things that we've talked about. And I, you know, I reassured her, like, you know, when you get here, I'll watch for you to check in, and I'll come down and say hello and see if there's anything that I can do to help you. And came down and met them. And she said to me, like mid-sentence, she stopped and she said, "Do you know what you did?" And I was kind of taken aback. And she said, "You have taken all of my anxiety away." She felt so anxious. And then just having a person to connect with made a huge difference. And I think that one of the key differences with a navigator that that is different from speaking to a provider is, as I mentioned, I don't come from a medical background, a healthcare background. So as a lay navigator is what we're considered, patients sometimes feel a little bit more comfortable asking their questions that they wouldn't necessarily ask their provider, that they don't feel comfortable, or they don't want to take too much of their time because they know that they're very busy and things like that. They know that they can sit and have a conversation with me. And, you know, if I don't know the answer to the question that they have, they know that I can find it and we'll get it for them. And yeah.
Well, I think, you know, you bring up such an important point. I mean, that it's those little things, you know, that make a big difference. And so I'm so grateful that you shared that. And ideally, you know, as a part of our mission and at Huntsman Cancer Institute, we'd really like to be able to treat these patients, you know, where they live and make it possible. That's the goal, for them to stay in their homes, in their communities, with their families. What do you think still needs to happen in order to do that?
Well, that's a really good question. I know that we've, you know, thankfully through the pandemic, we've increased the ability to do telehealth and taken away some of the barriers there. But there is often still that that barrier of just the technology. A lot of our patients that are coming from rural areas, they don't have high-speed internet or, you know, the bandwidth even to have that connection. So I don't know if it's a Huntsman thing necessarily, but just in building up that infrastructure so that patients can do that remotely and digitally. And then, you know, removing some of the blockades with, you know, insurance issues and Medicaid issues and things like that going across state lines.
Well, exactly, because if you go across state lines for treatment, it can be a lot more expensive.
Right. And sometimes insurance doesn't cover it or doesn't cover very much when you're going to another facility. So, yeah, that's really crucial.
So there are still a lot of hurdles and work that needs to be done. That infrastructure, as you mentioned, the bandwidth, and truly this is life-saving work. This is, you know, this needs to happen.
Absolutely.
You agree?
Yeah.
What is the most rewarding part of your job?
Well, hearing from people like the DiPentinos, certainly. And they're not the only patients that I've had that connection with. Each patient is unique, and they're all in a place where they really need that gentle guidance, that hand to hold, and a friendly voice and a friendly face. You know, one of the things that's really rewarding is when I speak to a patient and am able to connect them with resources that they didn't even know existed. You know, PJ and Lexi mentioned that they weren't even aware of the Hope Lodge from the American Cancer Society. And, you know, having a resource like that at our disposal to be able to say, hey, there's this lodging that you can reserve that is not going to cost you anything. There are other organizations that provide a free air transit for patients and their caregivers. And being able to connect patients with things like that that really have an impact on their lives and on their care is really rewarding.
Finally, Amelia, I'd like to ask you the question we ask everyone on our podcast. What does it mean to you to deliver a cancer-free frontier?
You know, personally, I have family members who have battled cancer, and to be able to eliminate that from other loved ones' lives is just an incredible idea and concept. And then additionally, there's so many other concerns and things to worry about in the world. If we could eliminate cancer and have those resources to focus on, you know, there's so many other worthwhile and worthy needs out there. Think of all the good that we could do.
It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Amelia Talene, it's been such a joy having you on the podcast. And thank you for your incredible work. You're the boots on the ground that make it all possible. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We extend our sincere gratitude to PJ and his wife, Lexi, and Amelia Talene for sharing their expertise and experiences with us today. Traveling far distances for care can make a cancer diagnosis even harder. Huntsman Cancer Institute is working to bridge the gap for patients who live in the countryside through rural patient navigators, but there's so much that still needs to be done. Coming up in part two of this episode, we'll talk about the solutions. Our guest will be one of our investigators, and he's got an amazing story to tell. An outing at a public pool and a chance meeting saved his life and shaped his career. That's next time. To our dedicated listeners, we appreciate your support. For additional resources, be sure to check out the show notes. And if you want to stay connected with us and be the first to know about upcoming episodes, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. We truly appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave us a rating or review. Your feedback is incredibly meaningful. And please tell your friends and family about our podcast and share episodes on social media. We're always eager to hear from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions for future topics, or a personal story you'd like to share. Please visit our website, huntsmancancerinstitute.org. I'm your host and executive producer of A Cancer-Free Frontier, Heather Simonson. Avery Schrader is our producer, with help from Carly Lehauli and Jill Woods. A special thanks to the Podmill and Mix at Six Studios for their help with this episode.